This is Mod Love, the show that tackles dating, mating, and relating in the modern world with your host, premier dating mentor and coach, Jody Riley, and her partner from Straight Talk with Steve, Stephen Cardinal. Also featuring Ann Wade, our soulmate expert from soulmatedance.com.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
Welcome to the podcast this evening. We have a ton of fun stuff tonight. We're going to be talking about sex.
Again. Because it is our
summer of sex.
Summer of sex. Yeah, we're not using the term sultry because you don't like the term sultry.
No, it's not sultry that I don't like. It's sensual.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah, well, it's our sultry.
Not sultry summer of summer, sex.
Sexual, sexy summer.
But not sensual.
But not sensual.
That's one of those words, kind of like the word moist, that bothers a lot of people. The word sensual bothers me.
Well, we'll avoid that sensual, moist topic then.
I don't know why that is. Do you have words that bother you like that?
No.
No words that bother you?
No. I mean, some swear words I'm not real big on. But no, other than that.
Nothing like sensual or moist or something.
No.
Moist doesn't bother me. It bothers a lot of people, but yeah, no. But anyway. Anyway,
so
thank you.
If you're, as a listener, are bothered by that, we just said it about 100 times, so you're probably getting ready to turn it off. But look, we are going into a moist-free zone from this point on, all right?
A sensual-free zone at that.
Exactly. We will not use those words at all, again, in this particular show, so.
We will not.
You can trust us. What are we talking about today?
Well, tonight we're going to talk a little bit about sexual dysfunction. And we're going to take away the myth
that's
that...
That's not very sexy.
But we're going to talk about how to deal with it as a couple.
To get your sexy back.
To get your sexy
back.
All right,
that's what counts.
Getting your sexy back. And this doesn't just happen to people as they age. This is something that happens to people as they go through different stages of their life. So we're going to talk about that tonight and kind of how to get the sexy back. We're also going to talk to, well, not talk to, but we're going to have a listener question about someone who is a little bit in a bad place with dating. She kind of is hating men and wants to figure out how she can get back to a place where dating's fun again. So we're going to give her a little bit of help on that. And then to close out the show, we're going to talk about aphrodisiacs, which I think is great since we're going to talk about sexual dysfunction in the feature topic.
So right, so you don't even have to go to a therapist or anything. Just go out, eat some oysters. Boom. Problem solved.
There you go. I don't think it's quite that simple, but we'll get there.
I guess you'll have to
tune
in to find out.
And then what are you talking about with Straight Talk?
We're talking about putting up walls and when it's a good time to tear them down.
All right. I kind of like that. So, like I said, we have a jam-packed show. But to kind of start things out, we always kind of try to start things out a little light around here, sometimes with an interesting article or a fun article that we find on the internet. And we've both been listening to the startup podcast about they're following a dating site that's trying to get ramped up, which got me looking at dating sites and looking at some stuff. And I got an interesting, I have Google alerts that send me fun article topics and everything. And there was this interesting thing in the Washington Post about the Iranians have set up a dating site.
Right,
a
matchmaking site.
A matchmaking
site.
Let's
be clear here.
Right,
I don't think
they're
really big on the whole dating thing, but they're trying. They have a goal of producing 100,000 new marriages over the next year. Because
they have 11 million bachelors.
And they say the number's rising, but if they're worried about marriages and child raising or children being born actually decreasing, I'm not sure how that 11 million keeps increasing. Where are those people coming from if not from people getting married and having sex?
Because we hope it's not because they're killing their wives.
Oh, they could be killing off more likely the daughters, that there are just fewer people. But they say the actual number of bachelors are growing. So that doesn't tell me that they're not saying like the percentage between bachelors and single women is growing. It's not, they're not saying there's a gap that's increasing. They're saying the actual number of. Anyway, that's a.
Doesn't really tell you exactly what the issue is. It just says they're trying to.
Once again, Iranian officials are coming out with numbers that we really shouldn't be following up on. Anyway.
Because 11 million is bigger than the city of New York. That's a lot of people.
They are a good sized country. You know, I know we
only. Bachelors, though? I mean, that's like everybody in the country.
Iran's a big country. Iran's a big country. Lots of people. We only ever see a tiny little focused area when the camera's on there of propaganda to make it look like they're a bunch of, you know, desert dwelling camel jockeys.
But they have some large cities.
They do. Yeah. I worked with a couple of women, sisters who had moved here to the States from Iran. And it was funny because I was making those kinds of jokes to her about camels and whatnot. And at one stop point, she got frustrated and just said, read a book. But I mean, they would go skiing. There are mountains with snow and they would go skiing and there were beaches and they would go to the beach. They were very cosmopolitan with cities and all that stuff. So not necessarily what you're seeing on TV news about Iran is not necessarily an accurate picture of what it's actually fully like out there. Yes, those people are probably real, but they don't necessarily represent the entire nation of obviously 11 million plus bachelors.
Well, and it says that, you know, it's not like OkCupid or Match.com where, you know, you can go in and browse and whatever. You're being matched by clerics and other professionals and things like that.
Doctors and teachers. Yeah. Although the interesting thing, this being Iran and what we know about, or what we think we know about how some of their culture works, is I just find it kind of funny that this matchmaking website is called Find Your Equal. And I'm not sure that their idea of equality between men and women would quite make that work for us.
This is true.
I'm one of that. That could be a translation issue, though. It may translate for us into Find Your Equal, but the words themselves may be the right person.
May not mean what you think it means.
Exactly. So I just did find it funny that Find Your Equal, Iran, men and women. Maybe, maybe not. But they're not the only ones dealing with it, too. Taiwan is dealing with that they're seeing the declining birth rates. And a lot of people, especially in Taiwan, they're saying women are the ones who are choosing to delay marriage or even skip it altogether. They just don't feel necessarily the need to do it.
Well, and Japan is having the same issue. They're having this declining birth rates and women, you know, just not having kids.
Right. So in Japan, they were actually talking to they have this dating website out in Fukui, F-U-K-U-I.
Fukui. That is,
there you go. Oh, sure. That's that's fine too. Called the Fukui Marriage Hunting Cafe.
I don't know how to say that, and there was no translation. I'm just saying it.
Slightly different than you,
yes. Baby.
And couples who met on the site and eventually married, they received cash and gifts. So they're basically getting bribed to go out and find someone to get married and have kids with.
You think that would work in Charleston? Could we bribe people to get together in Charleston?
Yeah, we do. Those are called buying a woman a drink at the bar.
That's not a bribe.
It is to me.
That's an expectation, right?
Sadly, it is. Sadly, it is. Anyway, so this problem, obviously, is not just with Charleston, not just with the United States. People all over the world are still finding it hard to find singles to date. And
yeah,
you're in the same boat with everybody else. It's a human condition.
And I think part of it is that our expectations for other people are so different these days. And our expectations of what we want in our relationships and what we want in marriage, they're so different than they used to be that we just haven't really caught up, I don't think.
No, I imagine that our expectations way back in the day before, you know, we were actually at dating level, dating age was completely different because society didn't allow you that much choice, whether if you're in a society that had, you know, matchmaking being done and families kind of deciding stuff, or if you were in the whole courting thing and a woman would never call a man and you had a lot more structure, which was restricting. It was not, you know, we can look back now and say, well, people weren't free. Women did not have as much freedom then, but that always comes with a cost, doesn't it? The more freedom you have, the more responsibility you have, and the harder things are.
Right,
When everything is spelled out for you, here's the only thing you can do. If you go to the supermarket and there's one kind of orange juice, there's no thought involved in going to pick up your orange juice and deciding which one. You grab what's there, and that's what it is. You don't even give it thought that, boy, I wish I had other choices. That's all there is.
Choice does bring stress.
It does. And that I think is, you know, you look at, you know, online dating, you now have a lot of choice and there's a lot more stress because you're always wondering, well, maybe this one's better than that one. Maybe I should give this one a miss and go try the other one. Or maybe I won't get too attached to this one because there might be another one down the road.
Because you know, when you get home, you're going to have 10 more choices in your inbox.
Right. And, you know, back in the old day, you didn't have that. So you didn't even think about being that picky. You just said, I'll just make the best of this one. And a lot of people had the capacity to make the best out of that one and never even give it a thought that, you know, boy, I got the short end of the stick because I only had, you know, a couple choices. No, it didn't really matter. You went with what reality was, and there it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think expectations, we're going to talk a little bit about that in our listener question as well, because if you want to go ahead and pull that up and read it.
Yeah, it's right there. We're there right now. So here's the listener question. Gah, I am in a funk. Right now, I've been on so many disappointing dates that I'm in a I hate men place. How do I get back to the place where dating is fun or at least tolerable?
Well, hopefully you want to get past the tolerable stage. At least I hope so. But I would say whenever you get into a place where you've been on a lot of disappointing dates and you're really feeling disappointed, you know, it's kind of like we talked about, and I think it was last week, we talked a little bit about when is it time to sometimes take a break.
Take a break.
This might be a really good time to sit down and take a break. And not just not go on any dates, but sit down and really figure out, okay, what is it that I'm so disappointed with? And maybe look at what your expectations are in your dating. Are you expecting to find somebody who, you know, is exactly like you and likes everything you like and has all the same interests as you? Or are you expecting to find somebody who's going to, you know, open your car door? I mean, what is it clearly that you want, and what clearly are your expectations of the process? And I think kind of once you understand that, looking at those expectations and deciding, okay, well, are these really expectations that are holding me back?
Right. Obviously, and you could be building an idea of exactly what you're looking for, which is a unicorn. You could be looking for this person that you invent. Right.
Doesn't exist.
Is not a person who actually exists, because you want them to be that, you know, former professional hockey player who now works with kids and owns a art gallery on the side. You know, that does sound perfect and could happen in a Hollywood movie. But for someone's life to kind of come together and allow all that stuff to happen, if that's what you're looking for, yeah, you got to change your expectations, because you are looking for a unicorn. You've made it up. You're not basing that off of some real people. I think, you know, sometimes it may behoove you to take a look at some real people that maybe not are available to you, but really kind of suss out what are they? What are the things that they do that is what makes me think that person is so good? Because there's an example of one that actually exists, and maybe even try to peer under the, you know, covers a little bit to see maybe it's not all that it's cracked up to be, because I realize that person is working 60 hours a week to be able to have that afford that cool boat and all those other things going on. If there's someone in your life that is not available to you, but you think that is the epitome of who you're looking for, you got to get past that shiny veneer on the outside to see what is everything that goes into building that person, and is that. Because it may be that you are finding people like that, but then when you get under that veneer, oh, the reality is that no, that was just a shiny object that you were chasing and not what is realistic.
Right. And I think, too, it's when you get a better idea of what it is that you really, really want and what you're really willing to do to have that. Because, you know, like Steve was saying, like you were saying there, if you get a peek under the hood and you realize, oh, so in order for me to date this kind of person that I have in mind, I'm going to have to tolerate a lot of time away from me, and I'm going to have to tolerate a lot of time with him at work, or I'm going to have to tolerate a lot of women being around him, say he's a rock star or whatever. You have to decide if you're willing to tolerate that. And if you're not, then...
Then you have to realize maybe what you're attracted to, you know, you have the feel that I really want a musician. I want someone who... You know, it was going to be doing all those romantic songs and getting out there and really living their art and everything. But I can't stand that, you know, he's out late at night and he's
surrounded
by women who are throwing themselves down. Well, that goes with the thing that you want. You really don't get them both. You don't get one without the other, you know.
Unless maybe you date
world.
Cat Stevens. No, I'm just kidding. But even Cat Stevens probably had his own.
Right. Well, then obviously he decided to go to Islam and kind of completely quit that whole life. So
this is true.
Right. So even then, you know, what's going on there? But I imagine when he's going through the 60s and 70s and, you know, peace train and all that stuff. He was getting a piece after that concert. He was getting a few pieces, I'm sure.
Also, if you're finding yourself in the I hate a category thing, you definitely need to remind yourself that all men in this world are not represented by the few men that you've gone out with. And if you're dating the same kind of guy over and over again, that obviously means you're attracted to them and they are attracted to you. And if that's not what you want, then you need to change that.
Right.
But if you find yourself blaming all men for the bad behavior, the bad reactions, or the disappointing whatever of a few men that you've gone out with, then that's something you have to adjust. Because all men are different. Everybody's different. Everybody is who they are. They're their own individual. And all men are not the same.
And if you're seeing them as all the same, you're probably ignoring a bunch of the differences just focusing on the parts that you don't like.
Absolutely.
Which is, you know, a shame, but that's going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt them.
So
yeah. I would just say to throw the last thing out there. And if you are still at that place where I just hate men, I can't stand dating right now, stop dating. Just start going out with friends. Go. Yeah. I mean, we talk about meetup all the time, but go do something where you will meet new people and there may be men there, but don't go with any intention of, I want to find dates there. I just want to find nice people, men and women, that I can hang out with and start learning about myself and about other people and dealing with new people. Because this is the big thing, right? When you're going on a date, it's not just trying to find this right person. You're going through this process of how do you develop a relationship? It is work to go from being strangers to learning about each other in a speed and a process that kind of works. Because, I mean, you can go on a first date or a first meeting with somebody and start asking him everything about, so what high school did you go to? How many people did you date in high school? And what was the name of your coach? And did he ever, you know, buy you alcohol? I mean, just all sorts of weird questions you could start asking to really dig into their lives that are not appropriate right at the beginning. So whether you're trying to meet a new friend or a romantic partner, there's this learning process of how do I establish a new relationship? And maybe that's a skill that you don't quite have. And maybe it would be easier to kind of work on that skill without the concerns of a romance, but just start working on that by trying to create a couple new friendships.
That's a really, really good point. So take a little break and just go focus on other stuff for a while.
Right on.
There you go. So that takes us into straight talk. So building walls in straight talk.
There's something going round that doesn't let me feel at ease. It's creeping like the plague. It's gonna bring me down to my knees.
So as Jody mentioned earlier, we're both listening to a podcast right now called Startup, and it follows the startup of a business. And in this case, season two, they're talking about a online dating business. Well, they're actually starting to launch a third podcast out of there. And the one I was listening to today, they had a little segue to kind of introduce you to this new thing. And the woman who was doing the show, it was a completely different topic, but she started talking to this guy about a video store that he used to go to. And he talked about, he started going down talking about some movies that I used to watch. And he said his absolutely favorite one was, and I don't remember the name of the movie, but he talked about how it really, you know, had such an emotional connection for him. It would really, you know, kind of make him cry and feel very emotional and cry at the end and see, you know, this actor or this character in there, you know, was missing out on everything that they should have had in life and didn't really realize it until the end. And he was kind of getting all broken up and thinking that he actually may go down to go watch that movie yet again that night. And he said, but see, and the person running the show asked him, you know, do you kind of see yourself as that, you know, you're missing opportunities and stuff. He says, you know, I've put up all sorts of walls and I know I shouldn't, but I have. And that's just kind of the way I am. So I can cry at a movie, but I'm not going to get attached to people. So and that made me think that, you know, I certainly went through that phase. And I think a lot of, especially men, have probably gone through that phase of, you know, there's a lot of pain, especially trying to develop loving relationships with people. And sometimes it's, especially guys, we get taught that growing up, that, you know, put your emotions away, you know, toughen it up, don't cry and whatnot, that we've been kind of raised to build up those walls and keep that stuff out. And I'm not going to try to sell you on the need. You need to tear those down if you have them right now. You're going to do them when and if you're ready to do them. But if you're a listener who is kind of at that point and you're thinking, you know what, I have been limiting my ability to feel and to emote and to really kind of get the most out of life because I have these walls up, but I'm afraid to do it. I'm one of those guys who had gone through that. I had the walls up for years. I finally made that decision. This is not, you know, you can either go through life at a, you know, level five, just a straight line all the way through, or you can kind of take the governor off and let yourself flip between you're going to have lows and you're going to have highs. And the lows are going to be, you know, when you do get into a relationship and it doesn't work out and you have a breakup and those painful feelings that go on, and you say, well, those hurt. I don't want to have that. But to be able to experience those is what allows you to also open up and really experience the joys of life when that relationship is going great and you are looking forward to getting home and being with your lover and going out and doing stuff and just all the excitement in life. Those two come together. You can't, you're not going to have one without the other. So if you're at that point of thinking, maybe I could tear down the walls, should I tear down the walls? I'm going to encourage you to definitely do it. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. It's not something that you can just give up on after 3 months. It takes a while. But I think there's a lot of value to it. But if you're not there at that point, you got to do it when you're ready to do it. So this is just encouragement for those guys who are out there, and women too. Women have certainly gone through this stuff, but I think it's maybe more prevalent with men. Certainly, I can speak more to the men in out there who have who are going through this. But if you're at that point of saying, you know what, I think I'm missing out on something by being so protective of my insides, that I'm going to tell you, do it. It's, you are going to experience pain, but the joys that go with that more than make up for it. And that's the human experience. That's what we live for. And that is Straight Talk with Steve. It seems my stupid nerve is going to get me into trouble again. My charm has set the trap. He's reaching for the shovel, says he's digging my grave. But the more I try,
fantastic. Kind of like Nike, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it.
Again, you can't do it until you're ready because it is a lot of work. You know, I worked with a therapist while I was going through the initial stages of it. I made a lot of mistakes in getting into relationships that I definitely should not have, but I learned a lot from them. But, you know, I certainly left a wake of destruction behind me that I regret it, but it does. But where I am now would never have been possible if I had not taken that step to do that. So, yes, there was a lot of pain involved in going through that and breakups and knowing that you hurt people and knowing that you can be hurt. But in the end, all the joys that I never would have experienced otherwise to get to the place where I'm at now, that's the price you have to pay for having had those walls up for so long. And kudos to those folks who early on in life never even put those things up. They're, you know, living with their heart out in their sleeve. And yes, they've known pain for a long time. I think those are a lot of the artists and musicians that are really able to touch our souls because they don't have those walls up. They've always been in close touch to that, you know, close proximity to those feelings and can write those songs that come right from the heart that most of us guys are like, where the heck did that come from? I can't write stuff like that. No, because we've sealed that stuff away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, kudos to those guys who and women who are able to do that. But it's never too late. You know, you can be 40, 50, 60, I think, and decide that I want to change and go get some help to do it. You know, certainly therapy is one way to do it. Self-help books are certainly going to be help, but you got to do the work.
Yeah, yeah. And I have done the same thing, and I dove into a spiritual thing and just kind of monked up for a while, but it's a similar process. It's sometimes you have to go down and kind of be really dark for a minute until you can really appreciate coming out of that and appreciating the light. So right.
It's just a matter of recognizing the long-term goal and not quitting too soon.
Right.
And that's what so much of this stuff is, whether it be that or getting into relationships, that if you want a relationship, the long-term goal requires work. You don't find that long-term partner on date number one.
No, or date number two most of the time. No. You
know, some people get lucky, and they could either rewrite their history in their head to say, oh, yeah, it was love at first sight, or, you know, all those other episodes of love at first sight that didn't work out, they just disregard those now, and nope, this one was love at first sight. You probably had 30 love at first sights, but this is the only one that actually worked.
It stuck.
And based on odds, you know, it's not something that you would want to gamble on.
True. Well, with that being said, we're going to have to take a quick little break. When we come back, we're going to dive into dealing with sexual dysfunction as a couple. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love.
Hi, Jody here from Mod Love. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. I just wanted to remind you all to visit our website at modloveradio.com. You'll notice that on our homepage on the right-hand side, there's a blue box. If you put your information in there, we will send you some free goodies. And while you're there, you can also watch videos, listen to episodes, subscribe to the show, or even check out our gallery of expert guests. You can also search for articles and send us your questions. Again, that web address is modloveradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thanks for listening to Mod Love. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
You're probably listening to us either on modloveradio.com or kinetichi-fi.com. You also might be listening to us on banditradiofm.biz. I said it wrong last week.
Nope.
I totally said it wrong.
That's right. They're
Bandit Radio.
Well, the people listening to them, they already know where to find us.
They already know. But however you got to us, we are very excited that you're here. And before I jump right into our feature segment, I just want to remind you all that if you have not done so, please go out to modloveradio.com and you can sign up for our listeners club out there. You can put your name and your email and make sure that you get emails from us on things that are going on, whether it be sending you past podcasts that you might have missed, or sending you articles that we've written or other articles and resources that we think might be interesting to you. We send stuff out there like probably about a couple times a month we send stuff out. So
you're not going to get overloaded with spam or anything
No. We don't do all that because honestly, we don't have the time to spam
too
people.
Much work.
We're putting together a show all the time. But also, there's another in the right-hand corner of the homepage there. If you want to put your email in that particular box, we will send you a series of video trainings that I have put together to help those of you who might be doing online dating. If you are struggling with it or you're just thinking about getting into it and you're not really sure how to update your profile or get a profile started, these three videos walk you through exactly how to do that, how to put up pictures and pick out pictures for your profile, how to write the profile, and also how to completely fill out the profile so that you're helping the site help you. So go ahead and surf on out to modloveradio.com, and there on the homepage you can either join the listeners club or you can get the video sent to you either way. And with that being said, I'm going to have to jump right on into our feature segment here. Again, talking a little bit, we're staying with the theme of sex this month. And we're talking about sexual dysfunction. And this is not something that just happens to men. A lot of times when we think of sexual dysfunction, we think of erectile dysfunction and such as that. It also happens to women. I don't think we women have such fancy names for ours. But sexual dysfunction does happen to men and it does happen to women, and it doesn't just happen to us as we age. Again, we tend to think that this is something that happens to us later in life, because I know at least for women, our body chemistry changes when we have children. It changes a lot of times with stress, different things going on in life. If you've got, birth, death, changing job, somebody, or buying a house or whatever, a lot of times our body chemistry changes and we get a little bit out of whack and we're just not that interested in sex anymore. We're just not able to reach orgasm, or we're just not very easy to be aroused. And so we have to take into consideration as women that we have to kind of check in with our bodies. Now with men, it's a little bit different. A lot of times it tends to be physical stuff, like a physical thing, but it can also be mental.
It can, because the mental side definitely figures into erections, for instance. So if you're dealing with a lot of stress, cortisol, right? That's the stress hormone,
right,
that your body starts.
The one that makes a woman's butt get really big when she gets stressed out, apparently.
There you go. Well, I mean, the the chemical reactions that are required for an erection get, those things get hampered by cortisol. So you're getting stress, heck of a lot harder to get it up and therefore be able to perform. And of course, what happens when you're not able to perform? You stress about it. And
exactly.
And it turns into this never-ending loop. Trust me, as a guy who went through a rather cold marriage, and a lot of it on me because I was not performing very well, the stress of that made it worse and worse. I could not get out of my – it was just like that snowball effect that there was no way I could get out of my own way, my own brain's way of saying, you know, just relax and let yourself enjoy it. No way. It was way too much stress, and that just made it worse. So it's big time. And certainly men and, you know, putting on weight and whatnot, that can have a big effect. Again, body chemistry and whatnot. But a lot of men, you know, businessmen and whatnot are dealing with a lot of stress. Or if you feel like you're the sole breadwinner, or even if you're not the sole breadwinner, but you've been raised to think that you're the man, you have to be the breadwinner. If you are lacking in any way, or you hate your job or anything like that, you can get that stress that is going to have an effect.
Well, and two, if you have stressors on your relationship, like say, for example, you're letting things fester. You're angry about something, or you're upset about something that your spouse or your partner has done, and you're letting things fester, that can cause physical reactions in your sexual arousal. I mean, you can actually, you're holding on to so much stuff. Again, it's that same stress stuff. You know, you're holding on to so much stuff. But there are a myriad of reasons why people have these particular disorders. And I think the biggest thing that we wrestle with is actually having a conversation about them. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's something that's going on with you emotionally or whether it's something that's going on with you physically, it still needs to be addressed.
Right, because it's still a important part of a successful relationship. So if you are in a long-term relationship with someone, whether married or just, you know, long lifetime committed or what have you, and that spark has been disappearing, just letting it go away is going to have an effect on the success of the relationship long term. And it's hard to bring that up and either say, you know, honey, something has been missing, or honey, I don't feel like I've been pulling my weight here. And I, you know, either way, it's hard to bring that up.
Right.
But it's important to do so. I mean, that's part of being in a relationship, is having hard conversations, right? It's not all Disney movies.
Yeah, and you know, it actually reminds me of a friend of mine that I had years and years ago, who he and his wife began to have issues. And basically what happened was, or when it finally came out, you know, if you want to go back and start talking about how, you know, things kind of manifest and what causes these things, she had been sexually abused as a child and had gone into therapy for something, and it wasn't anything with her marriage. She'd gone into therapy with herself, and all this stuff started coming back up in therapy, and it impacted her ability to have sex because mm-hmm. all of this stuff started coming back up. So in dealing with it, it actually caused other problems in her marriage, but he knew what was going on after she finally told him, well, the therapist and I had been working on, you know, the sexual abuse stuff, and then it was like, oh, well, that makes sense. That's why we're having these issues. So if you're having these issues, if you can, one of the things that I would say is give yourself a little bit of time to kind of figure out what's going on. Sometimes you might want to do that on your own, or sometimes you might want to talk with your partner and say, hey, I don't know what's going on. Let's sit and have a conversation about it.
Right. And if you're the partner asking good, compassionate questions, you may not know how to do that. So you may have to, you know, also tell your partner, yes, let's have this conversation, but I need to do some, you know, research first. I need to understand. I don't want to offend or ask the wrong questions and be hurtful in any way, but I want to make sure I can ask the right questions and understand. So, you know, you may have to ask for, yeah, let's talk about it this weekend, because I want some time to think about what kind of questions I want to ask and how I want to approach it and how I want to understand, because, yes, I want to, you know, work on this with you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's a really, really good point, because sometimes if it's not something that you have really ever experienced, you might need to do a little research and figure out, okay, so what is this all about?
Right.
Yeah.
What kind of questions do I need to ask? And, you know, which ones shouldn't I be asking? You know, why do you suck so much is probably not a question that you want to
ask, right?
That may be the first thing, you know, because you may be frustrated, in which case, again, taking those, that little bit of extra time to, you know, let the emotional part of it kind of settle and do a little bit of research and just try to figure out, all right, how can we work together to improve things? Because obviously, if the person is bringing it up, it's important to them. And if we love them, we need to, you know, recognize that and make it important to us too.
And so once you've kind of, you know, it's probably not hard to figure out that there's something going on. And once you've kind of delved in maybe to find out what the causes are, there are a lot of options that you have now for, you know, fixing these things.
Right. I mean, you know? There are
medications.
There are all sorts of therapy options. Hell, there's podcasts you can listen to of all sorts of, I mean, right back in the day, if you wanted, you had to hunt down Dr. Ruth at, you know, 11:30 at night on some weird channel. But now you can find 30 different sex therapists with podcasts who are talking about stuff.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, there's tons and tons of resources out there. And we're actually going to try to get one on our
show.
Yes,
we're actually going to try to get a sex therapist on the show this month so that we can actually talk with somebody who actually does that for a living.
And, you know, kind of help, you know, give some ideas of if you're dealing with that, you know, how do you broach the subject? What are some think questions that you could ask? What are some responses that you would, you know, should be looking for, whatever it is, and to how do you start working on that as a couple?
And one of the things too is, you know, in having these conversations, if it is just something like stress or body chemistry or you know, cortisol or something like that, and there's nothing, you don't have any mental and emotional scars that you really need to work out, and you don't have any, you know, you're worried about the bills or whatever, any of that stuff. If it really is something maybe that's kind of, you know, physiological that you can fix, or, you know, it's dealing with stress or something like that, you can actually begin to communicate and start finding out, okay, so what does work for me? Am I not aroused at all? Or am I just taking longer to get aroused? Maybe do we need to change some stuff up? You know, and you can actually have kind of fun conversations about how can we change this up? How can we do things a little different? You know, maybe now that we're parents, we're going to have to do things a little differently. Or maybe now that we're a little older, we're going to have to do things a little differently. So sitting down and kind of coming up with a plan, you know, for what you can do, you know, what, you know, okay, so maybe you're not aroused every time I walk in by in my boxer shorts anymore. What would maybe arouse you, you know?
Thong.
Foreplay.
Right.
What, you know, whatever it is.
A different soundtrack.
That's true. That's true. Right. Playing maybe, dress up.
Yeah, Funky Cole Medina may just not be doing it for you anymore when I'm walking around the house in my boxers.
Maybe she needs a little Johnny Mathis and a smoking jacket.
There you go. That can, right? You don't know how you need to change that up. You just never know
until you ask. But you can make it fun. But now for men, there are, you know, we've heard of Viagra and Cialis and things like that. But for women, I think something that has been really helpful for a lot of women is actually testosterone patches.
Interesting.
That help with sort of the libido thing. You know, if they're suffering from a low libido. And I know you have mentioned before, I think you mentioned last week, that a lot of times with men, it's something called low T, low testosterone.
Yeah, low T is low testosterone.
So is that a patch too?
There are injections, there are patches. It depends, I think, on, I mean, you work out with your doctor what the best way to address it. If you have a lot of ground to make up, like if you're way, way low, or if you're a little bit low, that's probably going to be a different type of treatment. So, I'm not a doctor. I can't tell you. I know those options exist, but I don't know why they prescribe one over the other for a particular person.
And the libido thing is a little different, again, than the physiological arousal things. Like for women, if we're not getting aroused or men aren't getting aroused, that's kind of a different thing. So libido's one thing and then arousal is something else. You may have both issues, but
right,
libido would be just not wanting to have sex, period.
Right, whereas things like Cialis and Viagra and whatnot, those are for rectal dysfunction, so that you're feeling randy, but not everybody is playing the same game with you. And you kind of got to bring them aboard.
Not everybody's on the same piece of music.
Again, there are physiological reasons for that. It can help for, sometimes even if it is mental, the drugs can get you past that because they're, think of it as a little battle down there, right? There's all the little chemicals say, yeah, we want to do this. Yeah, we want to do this. And there's all your little stress chemicals say, no, we got plenty of other stuff. So you take a Viagra or Cialis, and that's an ally for the, yeah, we want to do this. And it's enough to beat back the stress guys temporarily. It's not a long-term solution, but it may be, especially if you're stressing about not being able to get it up, being able to do that with a drug, say, for a couple weeks or so that you can remember, hey, I can be a good lover if I can get over this, and I can please my partner. All of a sudden, and she's actually pleased. She's lying there with a big smile on her face, and she's actually about to fall asleep because she's all noodly.
She's all noodly, right? Now.
That can, for a lot of men, that can give you the confidence that you then no longer need it. I mean, assuming you don't have an actual physiological problem, if it's more of a mental problem, sometimes just having for a short time period of using these to kind of get you over that hump, if you excuse the pun, can just get your confidence back. And once you get your confidence back, your body chemistry adjusts to that. And the stress hormones are, kind of go away because most of your stress was over the fact that you've been stressing over the sex and not being able to perform and therefore having this, feedback loop. And just breaking that loop once can sometimes be enough to get you there. So I have no complaints about the fact that these drugs exist because I think they can do a world of wonder for guys.
Well, now every time we have sex, I'm going to think about the battle going on in your boxer shorts.
Right.
Between the stress hormones and the Randy hormones and the... I'm now
going like, to
think
it's like Helm's Deep and all the orcs out there.
I'm not going to be able to have sex with you now
without
thinking about
that. How did we come to this?
So the point is that if you do have these sexual dysfunction issues, there are options. Talk to your partner. Don't leave them hanging in the dark. Because you don't want your partner sitting there thinking that you don't want to be with them. Because that's what causes a lot of people to wind up thinking that you don't want to be with them anymore. And that causes all kinds of other problems. But if you just, let the ego go a little bit and say, you know what, I really do want to have sex with you, but my libido is really low, or I'm having trouble getting aroused, or I'm really stressed out, or whatever it is, have a conversation. And then take the appropriate steps to get what you need, whether it's a therapist or whether it's, pharmaceuticals or whether it's a trip to Bad Kitty, whatever, which, of course, if you're outside of South Carolina, you don't know what Bad Kitty is. That's kind of our adult superstore here in South Carolina.
Right. We have a few. There's Adult Kitty, Generation X, and there's, what's the other one that, I forget.
Don't know. Anyway. Don't know. But so there are options out there for you. And
shall I describe it for you, or would you like me to get you a box?
But we're going to go back in our third segment, and we're going to kind of track back to this idea of libido a little bit. So we're going to talk about some aphrodisiacs and what they might do or not do for your libido. So don't go away. You are listening to
Mod Love. This is Stephen Cardinal of Mod Love, and if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to head out to iTunes and leave us a review. Doing so will really help us reach more people and touch more lives. And if you're not an iTunes user, even a review on our Facebook page will go a long way in showing your support. Thanks a lot, and thanks for listening to Mod Love.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Jody Riley with my co-host,
Stephen Cardinal.
And you are listening to
Mod Love.
You are just joining us in the podcast. We are in our third segment, and we've been talking about sexual dysfunction a little bit tonight. As Steve said, it's not a very sexy, topic,
but we're talking about overcoming it and getting your sexy back on again. So
getting your sexy
back. We don't want to just be talking about all the people who are not experiencing any problems. Those 22-year-olds who are, the wind blows and they are suddenly going at it like rabbits.
The college kids in the dorms that are shaking kids. Downtown.
And get off my lawn. Especially if you're having sex on it.
Exactly. Don't be having sex on our lawn. But so we figured we would close out tonight's show talking about aphrodisiacs. And you actually found an article on NPR.
Right. It was actually an NPR this weekend in the salt section where they typically talk about foods and whatnot. And so they had this article talking about aphrodisiacs and whereas it can spark the sexual imagination, there is no scientific evidence that it does anything at all for your libido.
I think sometimes it's the thought that eating oysters is really sexy and that possibly that's an aphrodisiac. I don't know where it comes
right.
from.
Right. I mean, one of the things that they mentioned there is that, you know, it may be part of that. The only time, you know, oysters aren't typically something that people just have every single day. They're typically more, especially oysters on a half shell or, you know, chilled raw oysters. And
yummy.
You go out for them on a special occasion. So you're probably getting all dolled up. You know, she's got the special perfume on and that little slinky black dress. And, you know, you've shaved and put a little aftershave on and you're all looking good. And maybe
you're
tie or something
there,
like that.
You're setting the stage there, aren't you, there, Cardinal?
And so you go out and you have your oysters. So everything that built up to that evening is the big romantic, sexy part. So now you start equating that with oysters because, well, that's what oysters are part of that picture. So it's that whole picture that's getting you in the mood. So,
the whole romantic setting.
Right. Now, they do say as far as shellfish, like oysters and whatnot, there is a certain amount of resemblance to the female sexual organs, and that may play a part of why it has fallen into that category. But
it also talks about that it's something to do with male sperm production that supposedly oysters
There's a lot
help
of zinc,
that.
And yeah. Zinc does help with that, but there is zero scientific evidence that it actually affects anything in any way other than, yeah, zinc is important for sperm production, but that's just not, they don't have any superpower and they're not going to make you a super lover.
So some of the other stuff they mentioned was watermelon?
Yep. So with watermelon, it has, let me get to that one. It contains the amino acids citrulline, and that plant nutrient is healthy for erectile tissue in both men and women. But most of the amino acids actually found in the rind of the fruit. So.
Well, but if you eat too much watermelon, you'll just have to pee.
Right.
So.
And, you know, chili peppers, capsaicin is the chemical that gives the hot. And, you know, that raises your metabolism and releases lots of feel-good endorphins. And so sometimes that feel good is all we also associate that feel good with sex. And so you kind of may say, you know, having hot peppers must be, you know, get your sexy on or anything. But it's really not. It's just kind of a mental connection that you're putting in your head. So it's not triggering anything. But again, if someone gives you a glass of water and tells you it's a great tonic and it's going to cure, you know, make you feel better, and you believe it and it makes you feel better, the end result is you feel better.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Even it, you know, even when we're talking about the whole the placebo effect. So even a placebo effect, if it has a positive effect,
it's still a positive
effect. Then really that's what you're looking for. So if you can, so even if you're doing the homeopathy stuff where, you know, they take a picture of some herb that's supposed to be healthy for something and they hold it up to water and then they strain the water a million times so it only has the memory of it. And even though there's no scientific evidence that that's ever going to possibly work, but if you believe it works and you take it and you feel better, who am I to tell you not to take it? I mean, it's your money. You can do what you want with it. But so if going out with oysters means that going out for oysters, unless you're a pelican or something and you're really into that, going out for oysters, if at the end of the night you come back home and you have a great romantic evening, good for you. But scientifically, the oyster itself didn't really do anything there.
And I think, too, that, you know, sometimes just like you were talking about setting the stage, sometimes just going out and sitting close to one another and maybe feeding one another, whether you're eating oysters or sushi or what you might be eating, sometimes just doing those intimate things and maybe having a very intimate meal will actually within itself be the aphrodisiac. That's the thing that gets your libido going. You want to be with this person because now you're sharing something very intimate.
Right. And they talk about, you know, watching someone eating can actually be a turn on because certain foods are going to give us, you know, maybe, you know, represent something sexual to us. So again, watching a woman eat a banana or lick an ice cream cone can really turn a guy on. I'm not sure if there are particular foods that a guy is going to eat that for a woman.
I don't think eating would turn me on. But I could be weird. Ladies, if eating, a man eating or eating a specific food turns you on, send me a message and let me know, because I don't particularly get turned on by men eating. No. Just not a, I don't know.
Yeah,
cooking, a totally different right? thing.
And we, you know, there's certainly the idea that men are considered to be more visual, and therefore seeing a visual, you know, example like that of a woman eating certain types of foods, you know, our brain may very well map that to, you know, oral sex or something like that, and so be more turned on by that.
Yeah, and I think, but I, for me, I think it's much more, it's not so much about eating. Cooking. I like to see you cook. What?
You're about to bang the microphone on your head again.
Was I about to bang it again?
Yes.
Let me get in front of the microphone and not to the side of it. How's that? But yeah, I think, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for quote-unquote aphrodisiacs, but I do think most of those are just all in our head, and it's what we've associated with that food or that particular aphrodisiac itself, that it's not so much that it really is helping. Like you said, it fosters fantasy, but not necessarily a chemical response to make you want to have sex.
Right. I mean, as we know, most of sexuality is all mental. It's all up in your head and your imagination and what you do with it. So,
well, and female orgasm is, you know, so much of that. I mean, you can be the best lover on the planet, and a woman might not be able to get out of her own head enough to have an orgasm.
Right.
You know, I think it's less for men. I think there's more of a physical thing for men, but a lot of it's
stuck
for men.
Yeah, for men, if they're stuck in their head, they probably can't get erect at all.
Right, right.
Whereas a woman doesn't have, I mean, obviously there's lubrication and whatnot, but, you know, for a man, yeah, if your head's not in the game, you're probably not going to get erect at all, so you're never even going to get to that stage.
Right. There you go. So, guys, with that, I think we're going to have to get on out of here. But next week, we'll be talking about another sexual topic, because we are doing our summer. We've been calling it
sultry summer of
sultry
sex.
Sultry summer of sex. There you go. Not that other word that I won't say anymore.
Right. We're not doing the M word or the other S word.
No, we're not.
We promised.
Exactly. See, and we kept
our promise.
Frodo,
a promise.
But thanks so much, guys, for listening every week. And like I said, run on out there to modloveradio.com and check out the videos that you can get to figure out how to put up a better online profile. It's going to get you better results. Or join our listener club.
A lot of our listeners are going to go watch Two Towers tonight, see the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah. Now that you've mentioned it, yes, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to think about that every time they try to have sex as well.
Right.
That's what's going on.
Ride out with me. Ride out with and face them.
All right, guys.
What can men do in the face of so much hate? Ride out with me.
See what I have to live with, people. See what I have to live with. Anyway, thanks so much, guys, for listening. And you've been listening to
Mod Love. Mr. Frodo, I made a promise.
Promise.